Okay, so my parents are missionaries in South America. So I was born December 20th, right in the middle of summer. So it's been a few, just a couple, yeah. It's always the same year, though. Every time I have to fill my birthday, it's always the same year. So I'm a missionary kid. I grew up speaking Spanish first, and then I learned my English when I came to the United States. I went to first grade, and I learned. Kids' minds are incredible. Then I went back to year one. I forgot it again, but hey, it was still there. It was just stuck there somewhere. When I was 4 years old, at a family camp, Bible camp, and during the kids' program, two young men were teachers. They were brothers, and they asked if anybody wanted to be saved. So I raised my hand, and there were two boys and myself that went forward, and our teacher had us each read a little bit of John 3:16, but I didn't know how to read. I was so embarrassed, but he said it was okay because he could read for me. So that was the day I trusted in Christ as my Savior. Then when I was 12 at another camp, so camps are pretty special to me, was when I dedicated my life to the Lord, and I said, God, whatever you have. When I was 19, 20, I was finishing Bible school, and I said, okay, Lord, you know, this is as far as my plans got me, now what? And God gave me 2 Chronicles 19:9, and it says that how we should proceed. We should proceed in the fear of the Lord, faithfully, and with a perfect heart. So I was asking God, what do you want me to do? And he said, proceed in the fear of the Lord, faithfully, and with a perfect heart. And I said, okay, where are we proceeding to? And it took about 2 years before that question got answered. I was done with Bible school. I didn't know where I was to proceed to, so I went home. You know, mom and dad are never going to say no. I mean, I had a key to the house. So they were just starting a church plant in the city of La Paz, and I think they'd been there for about a year. So I went home, and they said, if you're home, you got to do something. So since they were just starting out, there were 4 Good News Clubs going. One on Monday, one on Tuesday. There was prayer meeting on Wednesday, so no Good News Club. One on Thursday, one on Friday. So I had a friend, and we would do Good News Clubs. We'd just go around to the different neighborhoods. And that was kind of the beginning of the church in La Paz, and that's what kept me out of trouble, sort of most days. So I was busy doing that, loved it. I enjoyed the kids. But at the time, the CEF ministry in Uruguay was kind of coming to a standstill. There were 2 missionary ladies there at the time, and they were retiring. They were coming back to the States. They were from California. So one of the leadership from CEF came to Uruguay because they were kind of winding down, and there wasn't really anything happening. You know how when you're thinking of not doing something anymore, you kind of stop before the actual closing date. So things are just kind of slowing down. And I knew the gentleman that came to Uruguay from CEF, and he's like, we're praying for somebody that would come and work for CEF and keep this going. And I said, that's a really good thing to pray for. So it wasn't going to be me, of course. So then he came the year later, and he said, you know, we've been praying about this. And I said, yeah, that's really good. And he said, we think it's you. And I said, you do. And it took a couple more months of prayer on my part, but in 2004, April 1st, 2004, I joined CEF full-time. It's a big responsibility. There are 800,000 children in Uruguay. It's not a large country. The country is about the size of the state of Maine, but it is a whole country. So there's, you know, lots of towns all over the place. And 800,000 children are a lot of children. And how do we reach them? One at a time, right? One at a time. When you think of children, what do you think? You think cute. You think? Joy, okay. Chaos. Work. Curiosity, yes, definitely. Teachable. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's lots of characteristics when we think of children. And how does God see children? He also sees them as curious, right? And maybe, yeah, seeing how much they make their parents work. But I brought with me a friend. His name is Mucho. Mucho. That's his name. And we're going to see a few verses, and we're going to see how God sees children. Now, I'm going to need helpers because my Bible is in Spanish. So if I read you the verses, we're not going to really understand too much. So Sam has verses for me up there, right? And so if you want to read, just stand up and read, okay? So the first one's up. Who's going to be the first person to read? Quick, quick, quick. We got a lot of verses. Yeah, go ahead. Stand up and read it out loud, please.
But we are all like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags.
Thank you. So when God sees a child, he sees him dressed in what? Filthy rags. Verse number two. Who's going to read? Thank you. He sees them as blind. Number three.
For the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Lamentations 2:19.
Thank you. They are hungry. Verse number four. Forgot to stand up, Mr. Al. Forgot to stand up. Kids, you know, they never obey. Sorry. He came to my house in Uruguay. I'm allowed. But yes, the heart is wicked. Our children suffer from this condition, right? They're sick. Their heart is ill. Something we maybe can't see, but they have this heart condition. Verse number five. Remember to stand up. Remember to stand up.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Mm-hmm. And our children, they do not know how to walk in the counsel of the godly. So they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They cannot walk straight, secure, sure. They're limping along, right? They're crippled. Verse number six. What's the condition of our children?
Slaves.
They are slaves. And one more. What is the condition of our children? They are dead. That's not how we like to think of it, huh? But that's how God sees them. And I have 800,000 of them. So, sorry. Our children are under attack. They are. But God does give us hope. The CEF verse, the verse that you're always going to see time after time, is in Matthew chapter 18. And it says he does not want even one of these little ones to be lost. So, there is hope. God called me to work in CEF. He called me to work in your work. He called me to the lives of these children. And I have another set of verses. When Sam and I were working on it, I said, these are the sad verses, but they're also happy verses. So the happy verses are the verses that give us hope. I'm also going to have to ask for your help. And we're going to see them up on the board again or on the screen. And if somebody would please read verse number one.
Open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Acts 26:18.
Thank you. So they may see. Not because I go to Uruguay and I sing, yes, Jesus loves me, but because of Christ did, right? If they know the truth, then the truth, well, we'll read the next verse. What's the next verse?
Therefore, the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Mm-hmm. So they can be free. There is hope. Even though we know that this is children's condition, there is hope. They can be free indeed. Psalm 40, verse 2. Is that not Psalm 40, verse 3? It is Psalm 40. If we are on the rock, are we on shaky terrain?
No,
we're not. We are on firm ground, right? Next one. Al, I think, wants to read the next one. Yes, that's true. One more. Not fun to be hungry, is it? But hungering for the word is even worse. And Isaiah? Anybody?
For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61, verse 10.
He takes away all those, the uncleanness, right? He gives us a new clothes. And the last one, Ephesians. Amen. So, God can do this, right? Not only can he make them alive, but he also encourages us to do what? To clothe them, right? They're not just, oh, good, this child is saved. Go tell somebody that you're saved. Wait, oh, I did a good job. But it's a long process. It's taking the gospel to them, but it's also preparing them for battle. Because we know, as we said at the beginning, our children are under attack. Sure, they are lost, but the enemy wants to keep it that way, right? And there's so many things that are attacking our children, and it's not different in Uruguay than it is here. There's so much around them. And we think, well, you know, terrible things happen in other countries, but the enemy is always there trying to trick them by cults. We hear so much about abuse. There's so much violence. And humanism, just getting those ideas into them and confusing them. And like I say, it's no different in Uruguay. I have 100,000, right? I can't do it by myself. And I'm very thankful that God has called me to Uruguay, because there he has lifted up a people to help, right? There's a group of volunteers. I'm the only full-time worker, but there's a group of volunteers. And right now, as I'm here, they're there and they're keeping it going. There's teacher training going on at the office on Saturday mornings. We have 18 students. And if you've been to the office, you know that 18 is a lot. They sit in the doorway and they peek in, because the most we've ever had previously was 14, and that was pretty tight. So it's pretty exciting. They come on Saturday mornings to be trained so that they can also go out and help reach 800,000 children for Christ. What's really exciting to me is that this time that I'm here, not only are they doing what I left set up, but they're also planning and working on preparing workshops for winter vacation. That would be the first week of July. So they're on their own initiative. I said, yeah, awesome, go for it. To encourage the people to work with preschool children, because that's a big, big needy area nowadays. So not only is it growing, it's going, but it's also growing. We have plans for the summer. That would be January for us. CYIA, you guys know CYIA, Christian Youth in Action. We're planning to hold our third CYIA. And the Saturday before I came to the States, we went to Ebenezer, the camp. We had a meeting there so that the board of directors for CEF Uruguay could see the camp, and it was voted on that we're going to have it there the last week of January. So that's pretty exciting. They have new bunk beds. They have, the dining room is underway. They've done a lot of work there, so it's pretty exciting. We're praying for about 20 teenagers. Well, they're not really teenagers. Our age bracket is 15 to 25. For Christian Youth in Action. We're praying for about 20 of them to come. So that will be some of our summer activities. But the goal is to reach children for Christ, because the first set of verses are true. They're not what we want to think about when we think about children, but they're true. And we would like to think about this, right? That they can be prepared, that they can know how to stand firm. And that's what God's called me to in Uruguay. It's different for everybody. We were talking with Sandy. You know, God has different plans and different purposes for each of our lives, but this is what he's called me to. It took a while. I was ready to serve him, but I didn't know where. But I just knew I had to do it in truth, faithfully, with a pure heart, right? In the fear of the Lord. And I'm thankful that he's called me to Uruguay to serve him. I've been with CEF there for 13 years, and it's been an adventure. The first few years were just kind of meeting people and getting them to trust me, and I'm not just there to, you know, play with your kids and go home. So it's been a bit of a journey. But nowadays, God has allowed us. We're working with about 50 churches in the country, and we're reaching about 1% of the population, the children population. So that's pretty exciting. There's a lot more. So yeah. So please pray for Uruguay, for the country. Come visit again. We'll put you to work as well. I'm good at that. But, yeah, there's a large need, and there's an enemy, you know, and we have to be ready. So, appreciate your prayers.